Alright, I'm back, and welcome back everyone to the Dirt Hut, a guide to Minecraft survival mode. Now this is the 12th episode of the podcast first season, where I'll be discussing everything you need to know in your Minecraft survival world, complete all achievements, and more. Now in the last episode, which was many weeks ago, to be precise, I'm pretty sure it's 9 weeks ago, I talked about pillagers and raids, along with how to defeat them. In that episode, I covered the achievements Feeling Ill, Kill the Beast, I've Got a Bad Feeling About This, From Being Attacked, Sound the Alarm, and Cheating Death. This episode is part 3 in this 3-part series about villagers, pillagers, and everything in between. Anyway, if you haven't listened to parts 1 and 2 yet, then check them out right after this episode. So now, let's begin. Actually, before I begin this episode, I would like to make a quick announcement. So, I've decided, in order to not only protect my mental health, but also prioritize quality over quantity, to take 2 month-long breaks every year. So, the first will be next month, which is May, and the second will be in December. Now, I chose these months for a couple of reasons. First, let's talk about May. I chose May because it's the month of my birthday, and I think that I deserve a bit of a break because, you know, it's my birthday, and to complete other errands that could have possibly been postponed or unfinished due to the responsibilities this podcast brings. Now, second, I chose December because first, it's the Christmas season, and second, I'm always especially busy during that month due to projects that I must complete by the end of the year and other duties of the sort. And I'm sure you've noticed that in December of last year, where essentially I did not publish any episodes for that whole month except for on Christmas. So yeah, I'm sorry about that. But yeah, I will be taking a break on May and December of every year. So I hope that that's all right to you guys. If it isn't, I suppose you could email me for feedback. But anyway, without further ado, let's get on to the actual episode. Alright, so in this third episode, as the third and last part in the Village and Pillage series, I'll be discussing villager and pillager related farms, followed by general tips regarding them. Now, a lot of the farms and such that I'll discuss require a confined space to work effectively, so I'll firstly discuss how to transport villagers to their proper areas. So, there are 2 main ways to obtain villagers. The first is by merely, well, for a lack of a better term, kidnapping them. So, you can kidnap villagers from their own villages and bring them to your chamber. And this can be done with either a boat or a minecart. You have to either push them in or lure them using zombies. And then once that's done, you can make a railway going to your area with the minecart, or you can also jump in the boat where the villager is instead, then row all the way to the room, because of course 2 entities can ride in 1 single boat. Now this is a pretty arduous task, so I would definitely prefer getting zombie villagers instead and curing them. This second method is especially recommended for those of you whose bases are far away from naturally generated villages. Zombie villagers are very common at night, so it shouldn't be very difficult to get them, especially once you have good enough gear, which I'm sure you already have because you've reached this point. Now, I think that the more difficult part would be obtaining the splash potions of weakness and the golden apples. However, those splash weakness potions can easily be created if you live near or go to a swamp. Your work should be cut out for you with the creepers, spiders, sugar canes, and large brown mushrooms in that biome. However, if you don't live near a swamp, you'll have a bit of a hard time getting those brown mushrooms, but don't worry because a lot of those can be found in the Nether Dimension. For the golden apples, on the other hand, you can get gold from mining, of course, and you can chop down some oak and dark oak trees for the apples. Now, just as a quick refresher, to cure zombie villagers, all you have to do is splash the weakness potion at the mob, and then feed him the golden apple. You can feed him by right-clicking, pressing left trigger, or tapping the little button that appears if you're on mobile. And waiting 1 to 2 minutes will get you a villager, and he'll soon occupy the first bed he sees along with the closest workstation. Again, like all villagers, you can change that villager's bed, and if you haven't traded with him yet, you can change his job or trades as well by replacing his workstation with a different one. So, yeah, that's how to get, obtain, and transport villagers to your base. So, now that you have a villager, what should you do next? Well, get more, of course. This can be done by getting a second villager using your preferred method, placing an extra bed or even beds, and giving them food. So, this would mean that you would need at least 3 beds for this, and this would make the 2 villagers mate or breed. Also, when I breed my villagers, I usually give them either potatoes or bread to arouse them. And in my opinion, those two are the easiest to obtain and farm. More so bread, more than potatoes. However, if you want to use the other 2 food types, which are carrots and beetroot, you can. Anyway, that's essentially how you breed villagers. They get aroused by food, as I've said, plus an extra vacant bed. And they do all the work themselves and produce new villagers for you, pretty much on demand. Now, when it comes to farming the food and beds required, it's rather straightforward. For the beds, you could either breed sheep and chop trees, or buy beds from a shepherd villager who works using a loom. Again, they sell wool and beds, so if you have the emeralds, feel free to do that. Now, for the food, you could make a manual farm, or just get a farmer villager using a composter, if you can afford the trades. Many people on YouTube and other platforms have made tutorials on breeding farms, so if you would like a more in-depth and frankly more comprehensible tutorial, take a look at those. I'll leave links in the episode's description along with links for all of the other farms I'll be discussing. Anyway, yeah, once you have those villagers, time to trade a lot. Yes, you heard me right. It's now time to make a trading hall. So, firstly, let me talk about how trading halls generally work. Usually, they have a way for villagers to enter, a way to store villagers for trading, and a way to dispose of bad villagers. Now, let me be honest here. Personally, my trading halls are very primitive, and I'll discuss how they work. So, if you want a more automated, more automatic, frankly, better design, look online for tutorials. I'll leave some potentially helpful tutorials in the episode description. And all of these, by the way, are going to be for Minecraft Bedrock. Now for the building, what I do is I create cells which are 1 block wide, and then it's 4 blocks deep, and those are on the left and the right side. So there's four block spaces there. And these spaces would be at least three blocks tall. Now at the end of those spaces, I add a bed. So that would leave two blocks of space left. I then bring in my villager and let him occupy that particular bed. Once he does, he'll have some green particles appear over his head and over the bed. I will then seal him in that chamber by placing his workstation on the vacant block furthest from the bed, if that made sense. You know, closest to the hall where you'd be walking, you know? And then, I add a block, two blocks above it. Then I place a trapdoor that hinges or hangs on from the, like, it hangs from the bottom of that block. The hinge is at the top, that's what I mean. And then I repeat that for all other villagers. And it's a very simple design, but it does the trick. And of course I add proper lighting and such so that no mobs appear. And yeah, again, so many have made tutorials on how to make trading halls, so take a look at the videos I linked in the description. Now, before we move on to the next and final form, let me talk about the villagers that I'd recommend placing in your trading hall, along with the discounts that you can get from them. So, in my opinion, the first villagers you should add should be librarians. I think that you should firstly get librarians that sell these particular enchantments: Mending, Unbreaking 3, Protection 4, and Efficiency 5. I think that Mending and Unbreaking 3 are the two most important because they can be used on all tools and armor, and they help you make those valuable items last much longer. Now, Protection 4 is also very important on armor because that will help you survive for longer, while Efficiency 5 is important when it comes to mining, of course, in caves. I'm sure you missed that from the 9 weeks of inactivity. Anyway, from there, you can begin to add some more librarians with other good enchantments such as, but not limited to, Sharpness 5, Silk Touch, Fortune 3, Power 5, and Infinity. One other important aspect in any Minecraft world is food. And if you don't already have an easy way to get food, then a butcher villager is your answer. Butchers sell cooked meat like beef and pork for dirt cheap, like 1 emerald for 4, if I'm not mistaken. I trade with butchers a lot because of that. And, you know, if you're vegan or something, but why would you be in Minecraft? You could trade with a farmer instead, but I'd rather go with a butcher, honestly. And that's really all you would need if you have an easy way of getting emeralds. However, if you need some more help with your emeralds, you might want to get a cleric, a fisherman, or a fletcher. Clerics give you emeralds in exchange for rotten flesh. Fishermen do the same but ask for string or coal, and fletchers want sticks. These four materials are extremely easy to get, so it's very easy to get emeralds from that point onwards. Now, one way to earn and spend emeralds more wisely is through the use of discounts. How do you get these discounts, you ask? Well, you can get discounts through one of two ways. The first is by winning a raid and getting the Hero of the Village effect, while the second is by getting a good enough reputation score in that particular village. I personally take advantage of the second way because this can be sped up drastically. How? Zombies. So, what I do is I make a small chamber that is very near or even inside my trading hall. And this chamber would contain a bit of redstone. I would have a zombie in a minecart, which is on top of a rail. This zombie would have a set of pistons that would push the minecart backwards or forwards one block. When the zombies in the forward's position, it should be able to attack the villager, which is on another minecart on another rail, which is one block away diagonally. Now, the best way to describe it is the zombie should somehow attack like a pawn in chess, except it could go backwards. And it should attack the villager in the same way a pawn captures, which is diagonally. When the zombie is in the backwards position, it should not be able to attack the villager. This zombie must be named with a name tag so it doesn't despawn, and the chamber should be covered with solid blocks so that the zombie doesn't burn and die in the morning. Now, if you want to get the discount, toggle the pistons to make the zombie in the forward's position. It should thus be able to attack the villager, and once the villager has been zombified, toggle the pistons and bring the zombie to the backwards position. And then, hear the zombie villager, and you should get your discount. Normally, all item prices will be reduced to the bare minimum, which is one emerald or whatever item they're asking for. So for example, if you have a trade of 5 emeralds for a cake, it would only be 1 emerald for a cake when you avail the discount. So like all of the things I've mentioned here, many people have made tutorials on how to use this feature. And once again, there are videos linked in the description. Now, I'm not sure if I have to repeat that every single time, but I will, just to be sure. Anyway, now that should be it for trading halls, so let's move on to our last farm, plus general tips. Now, our last farm is probably the one that is least related to villagers, but don't worry, it still is. It's a raid farm, and a raid farm, in my opinion, is one of the best farms in the game. Why? Well, this is because you can get many different things from this farm. Just some of the items that you can get from a raid farm are totems of undying, emeralds, saddles, and gunpowder. Now, it's quite a complicated farm, so I'll do my best to describe it. It's a bit difficult to explain using audio only, so I'd highly recommend watching the video tutorials linked in the description. However, I'll still try to describe it as best I can. So, most raid farms are stationed in and over a pillager outpost. This is because pillagers only have a certain spawn area in the outpost that can be exploited, and they can be led to a trident killer to not only obtain loot but also get the bad omen effect to begin a raid. Now, we need to redirect every raid member from that raid to a certain point so that they can be led to a trident killer that would inevitably kill them and take all of their loot. This can be done with 2 blocks and 2 blocks only. Those two are scaffolding and leaves. These are the only 2 blocks that raid members cannot spawn on. They can literally spawn on top of anything else. Trust me, I've tried. Well, now that we have a way to redirect the raid to a certain point, we have to decide where to place our raid. I would advise you never to put your raid farm near an existing village or even a trading hall. This is because the raid members would just spawn there and ruin your farm, and your trading hall, and your village. However, raids need a village to occur, so how would you start the raid? Well, you start the raid, of course, by bringing the village to them. Now, the nearest quote-unquote village can just be a villager and a bed confined in a space covered in leaves so that members of the raid won't be able to spawn there, and the space should be very close to the kill chamber. This kill chamber should be the only place where they could spawn, and they can be funneled down to a trident killer using a large platform and water. And it's that simple. Well, it's not really simple, but you get what I mean, you get my point. And again, take a look at the tutorials I linked in the description if you would like to make a raid farm yourself. It's a great place to get loot from, and you can sell them for a large profit if you're in a survival multiplayer or SMP server or realm. So yeah, that's it for the raid farm. Well, that should be about it for the farms. Now, I'll just give a few tips when it comes to villagers and villager trading. And these things I've experienced myself, so this is some advice to not make the same mistakes I made before. So number one, be patient. That's the most important tip of them all. Villagers are very difficult to handle due to their inherent shortcomings. And I don't know how many times I've gotten angry over villagers, especially villager transport, but it's definitely more than I could count with my hands. So yeah, be patient. Next, don't get greedy. Don't get too many villagers as they'll just cause you more problems in the end. They have for me at least. Just get the ones you need. However, if you can handle lots of villagers, then go ahead. Just keep in mind that they're very difficult to deal with. Third, put them away from your main base or house. Now, I know this is a bit of an oddly specific tip, but hear me out. I once, actually I think twice, tried to make my house's living room a trading hall, and let me just say it was chaos, because there were just too many villagers and I couldn't move around. And yeah, so please don't do that yourself. Save yourself some trouble. Make a dedicated building for your trading hall. Lastly, and this only applies for multiplayer players, try to make a profit out of these villagers. They are very profitable entities with very profitable trades. So if someone else hasn't yet, you could sell stuff from villagers for a profit. Examples are enchanted books from librarians, enchanted tools and weapons from foolsmiths, weaponsmiths, and fletchers, enchanted armor from armorers, and food from butchers, farmers, and fishermen. In fact, you could even sell the villagers themselves if you really want to, but I'm not an advocate for human trafficking. But yeah, if you do decide to get villagers, then good luck with them. And I hope that all is well with you and your villagers, and I hope you don't experience any troubles with them. So yeah, that should be it. Well, anyway, that should be the end of my discussion about villager farms and tips in Minecraft. This is a rather short episode, like episode 11, and I mentioned in the unscripted updates episode, which should also be premiering and publishing at the same time as this, that I'm going to be rather late with this episode, but thankfully I was not late. I stayed up to 3 a.m. finishing this script, but I woke up early, and I was able to finish. So yeah, right now it's actually 11:09 a.m. 11:10 now. I woke up around 7, I think. But yeah. So I really did I was really on time with this one. And yeah, I hope you liked the episode. No emails this week about the recent episodes once again, but that's completely fine. Anyway, if you like this podcast, be sure to share it with your friends and family members, and stay tuned for the episodes to come. If you search the Dirt Hut on Anchor's website, you can send me a voice message for feedback, or you could also send feedback to this podcast's email address, and that is thedirthutpodcast@gmail.com. I repeat, thedirthutpodcast@gmail.com. Now, if you'd like to support this podcast, you can become a patron at my Patreon page for only $1 a month, or more if you want to. Patrons get exclusive shoutouts and access to all of my episode scripts, along with benefits like talking to me through the Patreon-only page, getting early access to all episodes, right after I finish them. And you can also access my exclusive articles that I write for only patrons. And once again, everything is in the episode description, along with the tutorials that I've selected. So yeah, thank you all so much for listening to the 12th episode of my podcast, and I hope to see you again in the next ones. Goodbye.